Have you ever really stopped to think about the smallness of a local congregation? Did you know that Christians, and I'm talking about true New Testament Christians, occupy a very minute part of the population of the world? Folks, it's in the tens, thousandths of a percentage point in relationship to the world. In the United States of America, the local congregation averages in number about 110. Now, there are some that are 5, 6, 7, 8 in membership. But there are others who are 3, 4, 5,000 in membership. And those large ones and those small ones kind of skew the numbers. But the average is about 110 in a normal congregation. The budget of a local congregation is pennies compared to large corporations. We deal in thousands of dollars, whereas they deal in millions and even billions of dollars. The local congregation is a very, very, very small unit. Yet, God calls upon local congregations to impact the entirety of the world. What we are saying is this: our vision as a local congregation ought to be global in nature. As you and I think about what we are supposed to be doing, it's not just about the few doors around this building. It is about looking out into the entirety of the world itself. And yet, small numbers, small budgets, oftentimes make that vision very difficult to bring to pass. Fortunately, the last 2 years at the Oceanside Congregation, through the pandemic and into 2021, this congregation has every week just about gone over its budget. And my friends, the congregation here is to be commended for that kind of giving. And the elders are hoping that that is going to continue even into the future. Therefore, in 2022, the elders want the Oceanside congregation to become much more mission-minded. They want to take that surplus, they want to take those extra dollars, and they want us to reach out and begin to look beyond Oceanside, beyond just a few works that we've been supporting for years, and begin to look even globally, if possible. This morning, we want to preach a lesson entitled, A Global Mission. Because that is what the church is supposed to be responsible for. This morning, we only have 4 points, and each one of them begins with the letter M. First, the mission. Did you know from the start of the Bible to the end of the Bible, this concept of being mission-minded globally is told about in Scripture? You go all the way back to the seed promise of Abraham. And there we find a mission-minded focus, don't we? And in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Did you hear that? All families where? Of the earth is to be blessed through the seed of Abraham. My friends, that seed, according to Paul in Galatians 3:16, is Jesus Christ. The blessing was not just to the Jews, but it was also to the Gentiles as well. Galatians 3:14. Notice that the blessing of Abraham might what? Might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God intended that through Jesus Christ, both Jews and Gentiles, all men, all families of the earth were to be blessed. God has always had a global focus. We turn a little bit further into the pages of the Old Testament and we enter into the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 3. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Listen to him. And all nations shall flow unto it. Notice, Isaiah prophesies that the mountain of the Lord's house is going to be established in the top of the mountains. Folks, what is the Lord's house? Paul tells us plainly what the Lord's house is in 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself, listen to him, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now notice, Isaiah says, in the last days, God is going to establish His church in the mountainous regions of Jerusalem. And notice what he says, all nations shall flow unto it. Not one nation, not two nations, not just a handful of nations, all nations shall flow unto it. In Acts the second chapter, the gospel is being preached for the first time, is it not? And I find it very interesting in Acts 2, verses 9 through 11, that Luke lists for us 14 nations that are gathered in the city of Jerusalem on that single day. All nations shall flow unto the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, God has always had a global focus as far as His church is concerned. Didn't Jesus have a global focus when He gave the Great Commission to His disciples? We read of the Great Commission in several passages. We are all familiar with Mark 16:15, and He said unto them, go ye where? Into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, there is not a man, woman, or child who is living on the face of this earth who does not deserve to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus is standing before His disciples on the Mount of Ascension. And notice what He says unto them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, watch this, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Even Jesus has a global focus, doesn't He? I want you to go into all the world. I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to make certain that you go into the uttermost parts of the earth with the truth that I have given to you. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, and he too talks about how the gospel is to go into all in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. For the promise is unto you and your children, and of them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter tells those Jews, the gospel is for you. The gospel is also for your children. But notice he says, and for them that are afar off. Folks, that's the Gentiles. There was a time when they were distant from God, strangers to the covenants of promise, aliens and enemies of the Almighty God. But it was not going to be that way forever. Now the gospel had been instituted. Now it was time to go out and reach out to those individuals and bring them into the body of Christ. But notice he also says, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you don't fall into the camp of the Jew, if you don't fall into the camp of the Gentile, don't worry. The gospel is for you as well. My friends, from the start of the Bible to the end of the Bible, God has a global mission for His church. And here we are. As far as church is concerned, this is it for us, isn't it? This is the church that we're affiliated with. This is the church that we are members of. This is the local congregation through which we work. We as Oceanside Church of Christ must have a global focus. But notice, in order to carry out that global focus, every one of us has to develop a certain mindset. And what's amazing is the mindset is not something that takes a lot to develop. It's relatively easy. In fact, as Christians, as redeemed individuals, as individuals saved by the blood of Christ, it ought to be an easy mindset. And it's very simply this. We are going to seek out and serve the needy to the best of our ability. There it is. Is that a hard mindset to develop? Not at all. Now the interesting thing is this. The needy can fall into two categories. The needy can fall into a very general, broad category, or the needy can fall into a very specific category. And the reality is that you and I have to be concerned for both categories. Let's talk for a minute about the needy in a general sense. Folks, that's simply this. Anyone who stands in need of our help. You and I need to seek out, and you and I need to be concerned about and serve all those who truly need our help, if at all possible. You see, our standard is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now listen to what He says. And went about doing good, healing all them that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice those little words. He went about doing good. Did Jesus save everybody He came in contact with? No, He did not. But when Jesus came in contact with individuals, and those individuals needed help, and those individuals needed assistance, what did Jesus do? If at all possible, He would reach out to that individual and supply the need, would He not? And folks, you and I must follow our Lord Jesus Christ. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially unto them which are of the household of faith. Notice, Jesus went what? About doing good. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to do good. We have a clothing closet, don't we? And that clothing closet's been opened about 2 years now. How many of those individuals have come to this congregation and taken advantage of our worship services? Very, very few. It's just reality. And some individuals will look at, oh, what are we doing a clothing closet for? It's not accomplishing anything. Oh, yes, it is accomplishing something. Folks, we are doing good in our community. Just like our Lord did good. And so we're serving a need, aren't we? But notice the specific sense. We talk about serving the needy. Folks, we're talking about the spiritually needy. We are talking about those individuals who are lost in sin and in iniquity. You and I have the responsibility of making certain that we serve those needs, do we not? Isn't Jesus again our standard? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. His focus was spiritual, wasn't it? And He wanted to save individuals. He wanted individuals to hear the truth and obey the truth and be free when they obeyed that truth. And you and I have the responsibility of following in His footsteps. I've selected Acts 16 verses 9 and 10 as a text for this. Because on this particular occasion, Paul sees a vision. And he sees a vision of a man who is in Macedonia. And that man in Macedonia is crying out, and the cry that he makes is this: come over into Macedonia and help us. There's a need, isn't there? Come over into Macedonia and help us. There's a need. Verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, watch this, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Folks, the gospel hadn't gone into Macedonia at this particular time. And now here's this cry. We need help. And the help that was needed was the gospel. And when that cry came out, what did Paul and his company do? Immediately, we made plans to go to Macedonia. Question: are there lost people in the world today? Absolutely. And you want to know what? They may not understand it, but their soul is crying out, come over and help us. Somebody's got to tell them about the truth of the gospel. And my friends, we need to do all we can do to seek and to save those that are lost, just as Jesus did. Point number 3, the methods. How do we go about carrying out this global mission as a local congregation? Number 1, we do it individually, don't we? Each one of us, each and every day, can do things that help to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just listed 3 things. Number 1, you and I can visit, can't we? We can make phone calls. We can send cards. We can go to individuals' homes and speak to those individuals. You and I can do our best to try to set up personal Bible studies with other individuals, or sometimes it's just a matter of setting a good Christian example before those in the world. Don't we have some individuals in Scripture who did those kind of things? There was a woman by the name of Dorcas. Another name by which she is known is Tabitha, and she used her talents and she used her abilities, and upon her death, individuals wept over her and showed Peter all the coats and the garments that Dorcas had made. She was a woman involved in daily good works, wasn't she? Remember that couple, Aquila and Priscilla? Every time you see Aquila and Priscilla in Scripture, guess what? They are always together. Isn't that interesting? You never read of one without the other. They are always together. In Acts the 18th chapter, they hear a man by the name of Apollos, and Apollos only knows the baptism of John. So what do? The Bible says they took him away privily and showed him the way of the Lord more perfectly. Folks, they were involved in personal evangelism, weren't they? We have another man about which we read in 3 John, verses 5 and 6, a man by the name of Gaius. And John, when he writes to this member of the church, he commends him highly. And what does he commend him for? For his ministering to the saints. You and I, every day of our lives, ought to be involved in this global mission reaching out to as many individuals as we possibly can in our lives. But notice, secondly, we can work through the local congregation. Now, this next point that I'm about to make is something that I wish every member of the church could fully, completely, totally understand and make internal in their life. Folks, it is God who designed, who established, and who organized the local congregation. The local congregation is not the product of the mind of man. It is not just some evolutionary process that has taken place over the course of time and all of a sudden, oh, we got local congregations. Oh, no. Local congregations were designed, established, and organized by the Almighty God. Oceanside is here because God wants an Oceanside to be here. It's part of His plan. It's part of His work. He wants Christians. He wants members of the church working through that local congregation. Not just individually doing your own thing, but working through the local congregation. Because we can do more as a group than we can as individuals. The Bible says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. God organized the church and put it into existence in order to carry out those three functions that are mentioned in verse 12. And folks, Oceanside has tried to do a lot of things. Sometimes we just don't stop and really consider what we have tried to do. We send out house to house and have for years to many homes in the community. Sometimes as many as 4,000 in one mailing, just about. 4,000 times 6, you do the numbers. That's 24,000 homes, folks. It's a lot of homes, isn't it? We mail out a new publication called Life Matters, and that goes to over 2,000 homes every quarter. That's a lot of homes. And every one of those homes are right here around this church building. We do our clothing closet. Just yesterday, we had our clothing closet. Over 20 individuals showed up. The month before, some 26 individuals showed up. Folks, they're beginning to understand there's something here at the Oceanside congregation. Over the last year, we've been trying to do some small evangelistic efforts with each member of the congregation. Give somebody a tract, give somebody a DVD, give somebody a penny prayer card. And let them know that you're interested, that you're concerned, that you're praying for them. Folks, it's all outreach, is it not? We have our bus stop kids program, our prison ministry. We support two children's homes. We support a preacher training school. And also, we live stream our services, don't we? Not only do we live stream them, but they are posted forever and ever as long as there is a YouTube on the internet. And individuals can go there and get information at any time of day, and guess what? They do. How do we know that? Because they contact us and tell us that they do. Folks, that's just a part of the things we do. What about Vacation Bible School? What about our gospel meetings? And on and on and on. Now, these are just some of the things that Oceanside does in order to try to do what? Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we think, kickbacks, well, we're just not doing very much. Folks, we're doing quite a bit of things. and trying to influence individuals through the local congregation. But here's a third way. We can join with other churches to do great works, can't we? We have an example of it in Acts the 11th chapter. In the city of Antioch, there was a church. It was a Gentile church. And news got to the church at Antioch that the brethren in Judea were suffering from famine. And the Bible says, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the churches which were in Judea. Acts 11:29. Here is one church assisting another church in its labors. Folks, many churches can join together and support missionaries, can't they? We may not be able, as one congregation, to support one missionary full time. But five or six or seven congregations coming together can support a missionary full time, can't they? Sometimes you and I can go on mission trips to foreign lands, and when we get there, there's Christians from other congregations, and we all join together, spreading the gospel in that particular location. We too can send relief to brothers and sisters in Christ, can't we? Who are suffering from floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, and other disasters. That's been done in times past. We can join hands with others and spread the gospel and do the work of our Lord and Savior. Before we leave that note, I've got one important note for you, and it's this, folks. As we said in our introduction, the elders here at Oceanside want to do more in 2022. They want to challenge us as a congregation. You've done well, and now what do we want to do? We want to take advantage of that opportunity, and that's the reason for our Catch a Vision Day next Saturday. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. You mark everything off your schedule and you come to Catch a Vision Day next week. It's 2.5 hours, 9:30 to 12. You don't have to stay for lunch. There's going to be a free lunch. That's usually a draw for some members of the church. Isn't it? Food. You'll suffer through anything for a little food. It starts at 9:30. It'll be over by 12, I promise you, unless you stay and eat. We've got four speakers who are coming. One of them is a man by the name of Dylan Guthrie. He's been here before. He was here for a gospel meeting that we had about 3 or 4 years ago. Dylan oversees the Georgia Bible Camp. And he's going to come and talk to us about that Bible camp and what they're doing and what their needs are. Billy Bland, he's been here for a gospel meeting in times past. He's from the Memphis School of Preaching. He's going to come and he's going to tell us about some of their programs and some of their new programs and ways that you and I can help it. If you don't come for any other reason, you come to hear this man, George McNulty. George is Irish. He holds citizenships in two places, the United States of America and Ireland. He was trained at the Northwest Florida School of Biblical, or the Northeast Florida School of Biblical Studies over in Pensacola, a school that you and I have supported in times past. George has preached here in the States, and he and his wife have made a decision that they're going to go back to Ireland and do work over in Ireland. I said, oh, you're going into foreign missions. He says, no, I'm not. Because he's from Ireland. And I said, well, it's foreign to me. You will like George McNulty, I promise you. He's shorter than I am. Believe it or not. And then John Farber is going to be here from Latin American Missions, folks. Latin American Missions has been in operation for many, many years, and they have grown not only now into Latin America, but also into South America. We've been part of a couple of their missionary works in times past, sending groups into Latin America in order to preach and teach the gospel. And he's going to be coming and telling us about that work. and the monies that you and I give over our contribution, what we're hoping to do is be able to select from this list of individuals or maybe even more individuals and try to spread the gospel where? To the entirety of the world, to the best of our ability. And that leads, thirdly, to our motives. Why do we want to do that, folks? Number one, we want to do it to bring glory to the Almighty God. Folks, God is sovereign above all, isn't He? And folks, God is worthy. He is worthy of honor and glory and reverence and awe and respect. And one of the ways that you and I bring Him that glory is by being involved in good works to Him. Listen to Psalm 72:19. What a beautiful verse. And blessed be His glorious name forever. Now note that last part. And let the earth be filled with what? His glory. Amen and amen. Every time you and I involve ourselves in a good work, we bring glory to the Almighty God. And the psalmist said that he desires and longs for what? For the earth to be filled with the glory of God. A global mission, is it not? Secondly, we do these things, folks, listen to me, to reach out to as many lost as we can. Notice the wording of that, to reach out to as many lost as we can. It is not my responsibility, it is not your responsibility to save those lost. Oh, boy, that turns some heads, doesn't it? Folks, we've got one obligation, and that's to sow the seed. That's what our obligation is. We are to take that seed and we are to go out into the world, and it doesn't matter what the soil type is, we sow and we sow and we sow and we sow the seed. And it doesn't matter whether we get a response or not, that's not our obligation, because you see, it is God who gives the increase. Isn't that what Paul said? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, but He's also promised, the more you sow, what? The more you'll reap. The more you'll sow, the more I'll give to you. Our mission ought to be this. We want to try to get the gospel to 7.6 billion people on the earth. I'm not going to be concerned whether they obey that gospel or not. I'll let God give the increase. Our job is to try to reach them, isn't it? Thirdly, folks, we do it so that we can save our own souls, don't we? See, Christianity is more than a profession. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus as the Son of God. So? Christianity is more than that, folks. Christianity is the practice of faith. It's not just the profession of faith, it's the practice of faith. Listen to what James says. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? No! Faith only has never saved anybody. Folks, if you're not involved in the works of God, your faith doesn't mean much. Notice what he says in verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Folks, our faith is made perfect how? By our works. Unless you and I are actively involved in good works, our faith will not save us. It's not going to do it. And don't you want to be saved in the last day? Surely you do. Folks, the mission of the church is global in nature, but it's often difficult for churches to do that because of small numbers and because of little budgets. But when they can, they need to do everything they possibly can to reach out as far into the world as possible. And that's Oceanside's goal for 2022. Over the last 6 or 8 weeks, we've been batting around trying to come up with a good theme for 2022, and we still ain't got it yet. We do know that we want the words, the needy, in that theme. And folks, let me tell you, there are a lot of needy in the world, aren't there? Seeking, serving, and saving the needy in 2022. Now remember, that's two categories of people. General needs and the specific need of salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. And folks, when we start seeking and are willing to serve, guess what God will do? God will open the doors of opportunity to do that in this congregation. And then it's going to be up to us to take advantage of it. Too much work. Ugh. More time serving God. Ugh. Well, that's terrible, isn't it? Oh, got to give a little bit. Yeah, you got to give up on them Sunday meals. Isn't that sad? We don't have a problem going out to eat. But boy, we sure do have a problem giving to an extra work, don't we? Folks, we got to get our priorities right, don't we? If you and I will open our eyes, if you and I will reach out, God will give us tons of opportunities. And then it's up to us to take advantage of it. A global mission. Is Oceanside ready to do that? I hope so. The Lord Jesus came to what? Save the lost, didn't He? And He made the plan simple. That's what's amazing to me. You hear His truth. You believe that He is who He says He is, the Son of the living God. You believe that He came to this earth, died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. That produces love in your heart, and that love causes you to repent of sins. And then with courage, you confess His beautiful name before all men. And then He tells us to do this. Submit to baptism for the remission of sins. Folks, that's not a work to save you. It's an act of faith to save you. Will you do this? Will you trust me enough to do this? You see, that's the dividing line, isn't it? Between being lost and saved. When a man goes into the water, he's lost. In that water, the blood of Jesus cleanses him and he arises a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's not hard to do. Maybe you need to do that this morning. Maybe you're an erring child of God. You've not given yourself wholly to the work of the church. Maybe there's sin in your life you need to repent of. Do you need to respond as together we stand and sing?